Hi, we're glad you can join us this morning. We continue in our series of taking God at His Word. And so if you're online with us through Zoom or Facebook Live, we are looking at today 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. We're going to look at how God's Word is profitable to mature and equip the believer in that. And so as we continue in this series, we're going to see today how God's Word is profitable to the believer. And so if you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll read verses 13 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let us pray. Father, as we are gathered together, help us to focus our minds, to still our hearts, to lay aside every anxiety or sin that may weigh us down. That, Father, that we might hear your word, that we might exalt your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we might be equipped for every good work. We pray all these things in Christ's name. How do you mature in the Christian faith? How do you get equipped for ministry and service? How do you reach loved ones, your neighbors, your co-workers with the good news of Jesus Christ? Do you do it with an event? Churches do lots of events. Do we do it with a program? Churches do lots of programs. Or maybe with a class. We offer classes here. Eventually, we'll get back to having Sunday school class and some Sunday evening classes. Is that the way we mature in the faith? In a little book called One-to-One Bible Reading, A Simple Guide for Every Christian, the author, David Helm, he writes this: for generations, we've been conditioned to think of spiritual growth mainly in terms of an event to go to, a program to register for, or a class to take. Yet as successful as some of these plans have been, we still might be missing out on something more dynamic, something more straightforward and right for this day and age that returns gospel growth to the everyday fabric of personal relationship. What is this way? What is the activity that is so simple and so universal that it meets the discipleship needs? We call it reading the Bible one to one. Now, David Helm knows that God's word is necessary for discipleship, and it is profitable, and it is able to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ and to equip believers for every good work, maturing us in the faith. And so in our text this morning, we're going to see that for those who hold to the Word of God, that the Word of God will make them wise and on salvation. And for those who obey the Word of God, they'll become mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In our series that we've been going through, Taking God at His Word, we've seen how God's Word is sure, that it is enough, that it is clear, that it is authoritative and binding on every Christian. But this morning, from our text here in 2 Timothy, we will see how God's Word is profitable to mature and equip every believer. We'll look first at how God's Word is necessary to make you wise unto salvation. And then we're going to look at how God's Word is profitable to equip you as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then we're going to look at what the goal of Scripture is, or God's Word, and that is to thoroughly mature you and equip you for every good work. And then I will end by giving practical guidance to how you can benefit from God's profitable Word. So first, let's look at the fact that God's Word is necessary to make you wise for salvation. Here in verse 14, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, he's talking about evil people and imposters who go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. He tells Timothy, he says, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it. Earlier, he talked about his mother and his grandmother and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And so here he tells Timothy, he says, hold fast to the scriptures. Hold fast to God's word. He says, what you've learned from the beginning, that which they taught you, which was the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? That's where every believer, that's where we start out. We start out with the gospel. Someone shares with us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so here he's telling Timothy, what you have learned from your grandmother, from your mother, continue in that. And he says, what you've been firmly persuaded, that what has firmly persuaded you, knowing from whom you've learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the Word of God. And so we see here, he's telling Timothy, hold fast to the Scriptures, hold fast to the Word of God. And then he tells him why he should hold fast and what the Scriptures are able to do. He says the Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith. That the Word of God is able to make us wise unto salvation through faith. And that's why it's important that we're in the Word of God, because not only can does the Word of God, as we preach it and proclaim it, save people, but it makes us wise concerning God's salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what that's the important part there that Paul puts there at the end. It's through faith in Christ Jesus. That salvation is through faith in Christ Jesus. And so you can be an unbeliever and read the Word of God, right, every day. But does that make you a Christian? No. The atheist Christopher Hitchens read the Bible every day. Every day he read the Bible. He knew the Bible better than most Christians knew the Bible. But it didn't make him wise unto salvation because he refused to place faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ that you become a Christian. And so reading your Bible every day doesn't make you a Christian, as important as it is. It's faith in Jesus Christ. But what the Word of God can do is it gives you the knowledge about who Jesus Christ is and what he has done on the cross for you. And so the Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith. There's many people throughout history who have come across the Word of God and there was no Christians around and have read the Word of God and through faith in Christ have become Christians. All we need to know about Christ is here in the Word of God and is able to make us wise unto salvation. And this is the goal and the means of the Word of God. It's the wisdom unto salvation. This is how wisdom is attained, through the Word of God. And that wisdom first starts with knowing who Christ is and what he has done for us on the cross. And how is that? How does the Word of God make us wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ? It's because the Word of God is about God, isn't it? That's an easy thing, a simple thing to say, but the Word of God tells us about himself. Even though there's a lot of history in there, it's not a history book primarily. It's a revelation of God. God revealing himself through his working throughout history in that. And so it tells us who God is, but it tells us what God has done. And so it makes us wise unto salvation because God is wise. If God is wise, and if we read his word, what does that mean? That we should become wise then, right? That it should make us wise in that. And so the God's word is necessary in the fact that it makes us wise unto salvation. But secondly, what we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, is that God's word is profitable to mature you as a disciple of Christ Jesus. In that. And so here, let me read this again. It says in verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so the first thing we see that Paul tells us here about the Word of God, that the reason that it's profitable, because it is from God. It is God-breathed. Now, at the beginning of the series, I started off talking about what that means, that it means that the Word of God is inspired by God, not inspiration the way we think it today, like that poem inspired me, but rather it means that they are the very words of God, that God breathed them out through the Spirit as he led men along to write down his words. And so because they're from God, that they're profitable. There's something about God's word that it is living and active, that the word of God, because it originates from God, that it is able to accomplish what no other book is able to do. During the Stalin era in Russia, when Stalin was in charge, the Marxist government derided the Bible as a book full of legends, myths, and old wives' tales. And so we see that any communism country is usually atheistic, that they turn away from God and they turn away from the Bible. But here we see, and that's what they did in communist Russia, but it even established under Stalin an anti-Bible museum in Moscow to try and convince people that the Bible couldn't be trusted and it wasn't profitable. And yet, for all their derision, the authorities were so desperately afraid that people would read the Bible and that they would believe it. And so they put them in prison and labor camps for reading the Bible. Now, why did they do that? Why did the communist government do that? Because they knew that this unique book, that the Word of God, had the power to change lives, because it was from God and not from men. And so the Word of God is God-breathed, and because it is God-breathed, it's sufficient, it's clear, it's authoritative, and it's necessary for salvation. The Apostle Paul goes on that it is profitable for teaching, that the Word of God is profitable for teaching. Now, a lot of people, even a lot of Christians, put stock in their experience over the Word of God, but experience doesn't interpret itself for us, does it? We might experience something in this life, but that doesn't give us an interpretation of what the reality is. And so we need the Word of God. It's the Word of God that gives us a picture of the truth of reality. It teaches who God is, what truth is, and what he has done for us. And so it's profitable for teaching. The Word of God, as it teaches us, it lightens, it gives light to our darkened minds. And just because we're Christians, it doesn't mean that our thinking can't be twisted, that we can't have stinking attitudes, that we can't make improper use of our tongues, and that we can't see reality from an earthly perspective. We need the Word of God to teach us how to think biblically, to show us what are the right attitudes we should have. Just like Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, let this be attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And that's Philippians 2, verse 5. And we need to see reality not from an earthly perspective, but from a Christian worldview. And so not only, though, do we have our minds darkened, but we've been deceived by the philosophies and the teachings of this world. Even as Christians, if we're not careful, we can be deceived. And we might hang on to the wrong perspectives about God, about people, the world around us, or we might believe something to be sinful that isn't sinful, or we might believe something isn't sinful that is sinful. And so the Word of God teaches us right and wrong, what is good and what is just in that. Most importantly, though, is the mind is important. Our minds are important to living out the Christian life. Jesus told us to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. The Apostle Paul said not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how is this done? If we're to love God with our minds, how are we to love God with our minds? We love his truth. We do it by loving his word, by allowing our minds to be renewed through the teaching of God's word. So his word is profitable for teaching. In the words of one author, he writes this. He says, if our minds are dull and lifeless, then our Christian lives will reflect that. If our minds are filled with great thoughts about Christ, which then filter into our affections, our lives will show that he stands at their center. So the Word of God is profitable for teaching. And this is why it's important that we know what the Bible teaches, that it teaches us what it teaches us about God, what it teaches us about man, what it teaches us about the world, what it teaches us about the redemption story, and what it teaches us about how to live out the Christian faith. But not only is the Word of God profitable for teaching, the Apostle Paul tells us that it's profitable for reproof, that it's profitable for reproof. Now, many of you might be sitting there thinking, that's a contradiction, because how many people like to be rebuked? That's what reproof is, right? So you might think, well, that's not too profitable, because we don't really generally like to be rebuked or reproved in that. But that's what Paul says. And what is that? What is reproof or rebuke? It's just really to bring deeds and thoughts out into the open for clarity and truth. It's like when you might learn for the first time or the seventh time, if you're slow like me, that behavior and action that I'm doing or you're doing is sinful. And so the Word of God, what it does is it causes us to take our blinders off and to see our sin and our selfishness. It shows us where we fall short. And it shows us our sin, and it shows us that we have a need to repent. That's what rebuke is that when the darkness or the veil is taken away, and you realize that what you did is wrong, and you must repent and turn from it. When a person does that, we don't receive that very well, but the Word of God does that all the time. And this is a mercy from God. This is God's grace, that he would, through his word, rebuke us and show us our sin and call us to repent and turn to him. It is his grace to our hearts and our minds. And so when we read scripture, we want to listen to the word and see where it rebukes us, and with tenderness of heart respond with repentance to the word of God. And so the fact is, if you read the Gospels, Jesus did a lot of rebuking, didn't he? He did a lot of rebuking of the Pharisees, that's for sure. But even of his own disciples, he rebuked. And the one you might know the most is when he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men." And so there he rebuked Peter for his wrong attitude and his wrong thought about the things of God. And this is what rebuke is all about, that the Word of God rebukes us to get us to turn from the things of man to turn to the things of God. The Apostle Paul goes on and says, not only is the Word of God profitable for teaching, for rebuke or reproof, I can't even say that word now, it's also profitable for correction. And so correction is simply being restored to a right state, or mending that which is broken, or making something whole or complete. Or another way that the Bible puts it is to make straight that which is crooked. And so the Word of God is profitable for correction. The word here, in fact, is where we get the word for orthodontist. What does an orthodontist do? He straightens your teeth, right? The Word of God straightens our lives. It mends our lives when it's broken. It heals our life when it's wounded. It restores our life when it is marred. The Word of God brings health and vitality to the Christian life. The Word of God is an elixir to whatever ails us. And so if that's true, if the Word of God is profitable for correction to bring us to wholeness, to straighten that which is crooked, so the question of the day is, and why do so many of God's people choose not to drink daily from the well of God's word, as his word contains life to the soul, renewal to the mind, and healing to our whole body? The Word of God corrects. It makes straight that which is crooked. It shows us that which is true and right and holy. But finally, Paul says here, he says, not only is the Word of God profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, but it's also profitable for training in righteousness. And in fact, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that God chose us before the foundation of the world to be what? To be holy and blameless. And so he has given us the Word of God so that we might be trained in righteousness, that it might be a guide to us to live a holy and blameless life in Jesus Christ. And so the Word of God trains us to be Christ-like. That's what our goal is, right? To be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ in that. And so the Word of God trains us to be Christ-like. When I was in college, I got this Bible as a gift from someone. I don't know who. They gave it through a third person. And so I don't know who gave it to me. But in the front, it says presented to Darren Lee King, a Christ-like man. Now, I've only been a Christian for about 3 or 4 years at the time I received this Bible. And when I received it, I thought, I don't feel very Christ-like. I don't think I'm very Christ-like. And I don't share that to say, hey, look at me, I'm Christ-like. Because even today, I don't feel very Christ-like. But I share this to say that person, whether they knew it or not, gave the perfect gift for a person to become Christ-like, the Word of God. And that's what the Word of God does, that it has that effect on us, that when we read the Word of God, when we obey the Word of God, it has the effect of making us Christ-like. You see, God uses the Word of God to sanctify us and make us, and use through the Holy Spirit to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And so you can't pray your way to Christ-likeness, though prayer is an important part of the Christian life. And you can't attend church to Christ-likeness, though attending church is an important part of the Christian life. So keep attending, right? And you can't proclaim the gospel to Christ-likeness, so that is an important part of the Christian life. It's the Word of God that trains us in righteousness, that makes us Christ-like. And that's why it's important to read and study the Word of God, to come to church and hear the Word of God preached and taught, because we're matured in Christ through the Word of God as the Holy Spirit does its work. Now, what is the end result? What is the end result of God's Word being profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction and training in righteousness? Paul tells us here in verse 17, he says this: the end result of God's Word being profitable is so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That the man of God may be complete, and that means the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so this, from this verse, we see that it happens in two areas, even though they're really just the same side, they're two different sides of the same coin. First of all, that the man of God may be complete. That talks about maturity, coming to full maturity, that we as Christians might come to full maturity in Christ, that we might be complete, that we might be whole, that we might be normal, that we might be like Christ in that. And that's the goal. But the other side of that coin is that we might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, the result of that maturity is that we're equipped to go and do every good work in Christ Jesus. In fact, that's what we're, if you read the book of Titus, that's, Paul says that several times. He talks about how the grace of God came in Christ Jesus to teach us to say no to all worldliness and yes to godliness, so that we might be zealous for good works. And then in chapter 3, he says the same thing. He says, be zealous for good works. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul tells us that we were created for good works. And so God saved us that we might do good works. Good works are the natural outflow of faith. James tells us in James chapter 2, in fact, to have faith without works is really not to have faith at all. That works are the outflow of our faith in Jesus Christ. That the Word of God equips us because it matures us and makes us like Christ, that we are equipped for every good work. There isn't a good work that the Word of God cannot equip us for inside or outside the church here. And so the Word of God it works and serves to equip us for every good work. And it does that through teaching, through rebuke, through correction and training in righteousness. It matures us and equips us. And so often people in the church will say, well, I can't do something. Well, the Word of God equips you. So maybe you haven't been in the Word of God, or maybe you haven't And I'm not talking about being trained like how to administer CPR. That's not what we're talking about here, right? When we're talking about a good word. But we're talking about loving God and loving your neighbor. And so the Word of God equips you for every good work, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself in that. And so we see here that when we're in the Word of God, when we're faithful to allow the Word of God to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, and to train us in righteousness, that we'll be equipped from every good work. And so in summary, as we look at this text in verses 14 through 17, here's what we see. Here's what we learn from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 14, or chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, that the Bible as a whole provides a standard of wholesome, true principles to guide us and help us teach others. That's one of the good works, is that we take the Word of God that we've learned and we teach others. Two, that Paul here claims that the Word of God is the Word of God. It's from God. That three, the Bible is relevant no matter our situation. That four, the Bible enables us not to be deceived nor to deceive others, because it opens our eyes to the truth. That five, that we are to follow wise teachers. That six, we're to experience the Bible's effects in our lives by attaining a wisdom that leads to salvation. That's where it starts. Seven, we're challenged to mature and change because the Bible exposes evil, our own sin, and our own wickedness. Eight, the Bible prepares us for the judgment. And nine, the Bible prepares us to minister to others. And therefore, here's, as we look at that summary then, we go back to Paul's words to Timothy here, that he tells him this. He says, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. And so his word to us today, that we are to continue in the Word of God so that we might grow in Christ's likeness. That we're to continue in the Word of God so that we might grow in Christ's likeness in that. And one of the interesting things in this text that he tells them to continue in what you've learned and firmly believe. But not only that, he says basically, he also tells them, remember from whom you've learned it. You see, there might be a tendency as we live in this world to believe the lies of the world and turn away from the Word of God. And so Paul here is telling Timothy, remember the people from whom you learned the Word of God. What was their life like? What was it, a life of godliness and righteousness in that? And use that to be an anchor for you to believe and follow the Word of God. And so that's interesting. Part of continuing in the Word of God is he tells them to remember those who faithfully taught you the Word of God. But then he tells them, seek the wisdom that comes from the Word of God so that you might be saved and equipped. And so really, two things there. Continue in the Word of God. That's standing firm, right? That's standing firm. That's believing that the Word of God is true and profitable. But then he says, seek the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. And that takes action, doesn't it? If I go to bed at night and lay my head on my Bible, I'm not going to get a lot of wisdom out of that, right? And so it takes action. We have to seek the wisdom that's in the Word of God in that. And so not first for salvation if you're not a Christian, but secondly that you might be equipped for every good work in that. And so I want to end by some very practical stuff, to how you might seek the benefit from God's Word that is profitable. What are some things that you can do? These are just very simple, practical things. Many of you may be already doing them in that, and so you may go, I'm doing this. For some of you, this may be a help for you to get into the Word of God so that you might benefit from it, from its teaching, from its rebuke, from its correction and training in righteousness. And of course, if you're not a believer, it starts with believing in the person and work of Jesus Christ. To benefit from God's Word, you must first place your faith in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, that he rose from the dead, and that he is the Lord over all things. And so it starts there. But if you're a believer, then this this is what I would give you, some practical advice in that. The first one is oh so simple. Read the Bible. Read the Bible every day. Spend time in the Word every day. Every day read the Bible, even if it's just for 5 minutes. Reading the Bible for 5 minutes every day is better than reading the Bible one day for 50 minutes every week. It's much better that you read the Bible every day, even if it's just for 5 minutes, than just taking one day out of the week and reading it for 50 minutes. So spend time in the Bible every day. Every day, read the Bible. And that I have diabetes and high blood pressure, and so every day I have to take pills. And if I don't take my pills every day, right, my blood pressure goes up, my blood sugar level goes up, and I get dizzy and lightheaded, and I have to sit down on the couch, and I'm nauseous, and I feel terrible, right? Well, think of the Word of God that way. If you don't read the Bible every day, you're missing out on the very words of life, and that your Christian life is getting dizzy and out of whack in that. Read the Bible every day. Read the Bible entirely all the way through in that. If you've never done that, read the Bible entirely through. Try to do it in a year, but if you don't do it in a year, there's nothing magical about reading the Bible in a year. But set that as your goal and your plan, and if it takes you 2 years, oh well, it takes you 2 years. But set that as a goal, as a plan. Read the Bible. Read the whole Bible in that, because the whole Bible is about God and Jesus Christ. It's the whole Bible is the story of redemption. And so we don't want to skip any part. It'd be strange if you picked up a novel and you went right to the ending, right? But some people do that. They go to the second half of the novel and they don't read the first half. But this is God's Word. It's the story of redemption. Read the whole thing in a year, or set that as a goal. And whether you make that goal or not, and it takes you 2 years, that's fine too. So we started 2 years ago. We started with the New Testament. We read through it, right? This year we're reading through the Old Testament. And so for a church, if you stayed with those reading plans, in 2 years we'll have read through the Bible as a whole, as a church in that. And so we want to make sure you get the whole Bible. Read some of the books of the Bible in one sitting, like the letters that Paul wrote. When he sent them to a church, they didn't take 5 weeks to read that letter, did they? They sat down, and in one setting, they read the whole letter. And that's the way those letters are meant to be read. And so take time to read whole books of the Bible. The longer ones may take you more time, so you might break them up in several days. But make sure you read whole books of the Bible in one or two settings if you can do that. And the shorter letters are easy to do that. Read and reread foundational doctrinal books of the Bible. Now, what do I mean by that? If you skip the first chapter in the novel or the introduction in the book, it's hard to understand what follows, isn't it? And so if you skip the book of Genesis, you can't understand the rest of the Bible. That makes the book of Genesis foundational, right? Especially the first 11 chapters. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then he created man, and then the garden, and the fall. And so that's very important. So you want to read that and reread that. Or the book of Romans. That's Paul's ultimate presentation of the gospel in that. And so you might read the book of Romans over and over. Reread it, because it's a foundational doctrinal book. The gospel, the four gospels. It's the life of Jesus and his teaching. Those are pretty foundational, and so you should be regularly reading through the Gospels in that. And then finally, for reading through, read the Bible, read different translations. I'm using the ESV. We all have our favorite translation, whether it's the ESV, the NIV, the New King James, the King James, or whatever it may be. But try to read the Bible in different translations, because the Bible didn't come in English. It came in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, and most of us can't read that. And so that means someone else had to translate it from those languages into English. They had to make decisions, some of them correct, some of them not so correct. And so when you read different translations, you'll get to see different word choices. Words always have ranges of meaning. And from one language to another, there's not necessarily a word-to-word correspondence. It might be one word in Greek, and you need five English words to translate it. You know, and so read different translations. That will give you a greater understanding, and then it'll help you avoid the mistakes that translators may have made. Not intentionally, but they are finite beings, and they have to make choices in that. So read different translations. So first, read your Bible. Second, study the Word of God to fully understand what you're reading. Study the Word of God to fully understand what you're reading. And so I would just say simply pick a book. If you've never done that before, pick a small book, a book like Philippians, or maybe you'll pick 1 John or the book of James, or maybe even smaller, the book of Jude. That's 24, 25 verses in that. Pick that book and study it. Grab a journal or a notebook. Study the text. Ask questions of the text. Circle, write down words or phrases that repeat. Maybe you make a list of commands found in that book. Maybe identify key doctrines. You could outline the text. You could paraphrase it. You could identify parts you don't understand for further study. You could even get a Bible study book or a study aid like a concordance, a Bible handbook, or a commentary. All of those things today can be found online at places like Bible Hub or Blue Letter Bible. And so you don't even have to go out and purchase them. You can just find them online to help you study the Bible. In fact, the resources today online really leave no Christian any excuse for not studying their Bible in greater depth in that. And there's even online tools that will help you to do all that, to paraphrase or to outline or to do those type of things. Thirdly, memorize and meditate on the Word of God so that you may be rooted and built up, as Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 say. So I would start off by saying, memorize the Word of God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hid my heart so that I might not sin against thee." If you notice, I said that in the King James, didn't I? Because that's when I memorized that verse many years ago when I was using the King James version of the Bible. And so to this day, I have that verse memorized in that version. And so memorize the Word of God. Hide it in your heart in that. And don't use the excuse, "I don't have a good memory." Because there are no good or bad memories unless you have health issues that correspond to your memory. There's just trained or untrained memories. And we've untrained our memories because we have smartphones today. We don't need to remember anything, right? But you can train your memory to memorize the Word of God in that. And so train yourself to memorize the Word of God. But it takes work. It is hard work. It's hard work to memorize. It starts with the desire in that. Now, when I was in college, the push was to memorize Bible verses. Both the verse, you would say the verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, then you would say the verse, "But you will receive power from on high when the Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in all Judea," or Jerusalem, Judea, and to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so that's how you memorize Scripture. Today, the push is to memorize whole books of the Bible, leaving out the chapters and verses and just memorizing that. It's really not important what you want to do it. It's just get into the Word and memorize it. Hide it in your heart. You know, even if you just memorize one verse a week, that's 52 in a year. After 5 years, you've memorized 260 verses in that. And so and a verse a week is very doable. But maybe you struggle with that. One verse a month, you could memorize one verse a month. 12 verses in a year, in 5 years, you'd have 60 verses memorized. And so you can memorize God's word, and it's profitable beyond what you can think or imagine when you do it. And while you're memorizing it, while you're hiding it in your heart, meditate on it. Think about what it's saying. What does it say about God? What does it say about man? What does it say about this world? What does it say about the next world? Is it asking you to do something, or is it telling you to refrain from doing something? Take time to meditate and think deeply about the Word of God, because the Word of God is given to us not just for information, but transformation. And how we allow it to transform us is when we think deeply and meditate on what it's saying. And then obey the word of God. This is sort of like the first one. This should go without saying that we should obey the word of God. If Scripture's final goal is to mature and equip us for every good work, then we must obey the word of God. And so start your obedience really simple. Don't try to obey all the word of God at once. It'll never happen, right? And so start with something simple, something maybe the word of God is identified. You could start, if you're not faithfully reading the word of God, you could start right there, right? By becoming faithful to read and memorize and study the word of God. That would be a good place to start in obeying the word of God in that. The person who doesn't obey the word of God will be stunted in their growth. They won't mature as a Christian, and they just won't become equipped for every good work. We must obey the word of God. And then finally, I would say this, to make it very practical, teach the word to someone else. I don't mean hold the class, that you have to be a Sunday school teacher or a Bible study teacher, but what you learn through the word of God, teach to someone else, an unbeliever or a believer. The book I mentioned at the beginning, Reading the Bible One-to-One, is a book that you can use that what he says in that book with an unbeliever and read through the Bible with them, or even another believer and just read through the Bible with them and study the Bible and ask questions of it in that. And so the best way to learn the word of God, really the best way to learn anything, is to have to teach it, isn't it? And so when you have to teach something, you really get to learn it. And so share the word. Scripture is God's word. It's a book of wonder and truth and life. So ask God to open your eyes to the wondrous things that are found in it and share those truths with others. And when you share the word of God, not only do you learn it, but you're sharing the words, the very words of life with someone who may need to hear it at that moment in there. So having said all those practical things, the reality is that many of us are starving. And I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually. That spiritually we're wasting away, for we're not daily taking in the word of God. And therefore we're missing out on the nourishment that will make us wise unto salvation, that will mature us in the faith, and that will thoroughly equip us for every good work. And so don't allow yourself to starve. Get into the word of God. And if you lack the motivation, let me end with these words, the words of Jesus Christ, who said this: "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that we can gather here and hear your word and to be challenged to be in your word, for your word is profitable. And yet, Father, we often seek other things in this world rather than your word. We often waste our times on other things than rather being in your word. That, Father, instead of being guided and delighting in your word, that, Father, we delight in our smartphones. We delight in our videos. But, Father, we failed to delight in your word and allow it to nourish us and mature us and to equip us. And so, Father, we just pray that having heard your word today, Father, that we would not walk away and be the man who looked at his face in a mirror and walked away forgetting what he looked like, but rather, Father, that we would do your word, and that we would do it by first reading your word, studying it, and obeying it. We pray all these things in Christ's name.